Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to what we anticipate is the fastest growing segment of our society. If it isn't, it certainly should be. It's for those of you like me who know that there's something dreadfully wrong, troubling, even destructive about religious and political institutions, military invasions, which we're going to talk about today, media reporting, and economic schemes. We realize that these institutions are part of the problem. They caused the problem. They are therefore not part of the solution. There is no reason to try to reorganize the deck chairs on the Titanic. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission will be to understand what is causing the tragedies that are besieging our planet, some about to unfold in the very few days that stand before us. And we're going to try to predict how these events not only will influence our world, but ultimately their consequence on your life and mine. And that's why in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, because there is hope. Through evidence and reason, we will assess His guidance regarding His covenant, because it is the only reliable response to an exceedingly troubled world. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion of a lifetime, it's toll free, 877-300-7645. Things didn't work out very well for us. By us, I mean America and Korea. You know, we aided Mao Zedong, thinking that Sun Tzu's philosophy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend in World War II, and we created an enemy for ourselves in Korea, lost a lot of Americans, accomplished nothing. In Vietnam, we spilled even more American blood. We actually fought against another enemy that we had manufactured. The Soviets supplied the weapons. The Soviets were aided and abetted by America in World War II, following that same Sun Tzu philosophy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We accomplished nothing. We made a bad situation worse in Vietnam. We invaded Afghanistan on a pile of lies. We made a bad situation worse. Almost 12 years later, I guess over 12 years later, we have nothing to show for the trillions of dollars and thousands of lives that we have squandered there. We invaded Iraq, not once, but twice. And once again, broke a country. In the invasion of Iraq, 1 million people have died as a consequence of our act. Ultimately, we squandered 10,000 American lives in that invasion, making a very bad situation much, much worse, even suicidal. As a matter of fact, our invasion of Iraq is what has led to the proxy war that is ongoing now in Syria. We're dealing with the consequence of our stupidity in Iraq now in Syria. Because if we had not given Iraq to Iran, but had left Iraq as the enemy of Iran, then there would be no Syrian civil war. Iran would not be on the cusp of completing its nuclear ambitions, bombs which they will deploy in the United States. It's a consequence of what we did. We made this mess. Look at our bombing of Libya and how it turned out. We removed a bad guy from power. So every dictator in the Islamic world is a bad guy, every single one of them. They're all worthy of being deposed. But why deploy American assets and American lives to depose dictators? Now, that's a full stop right there. Why do that? But especially when those who fill the void of power are even more fundamentalist Islamic and therefore even more prone to terrorism, more enraged, more uncontrollable, more uncivilized than those we're deposing. Why do that? Look at how our influence in Egypt has caused the only common thread amongst the Egyptians now is their hatred for America, no matter what side they're on. Look what it's done in Pakistan, where we have deployed drone after drone and killed almost 4,000 people, civilians, all of them, without due process, just because we don't like the way they practice their religion. Look at the mess. Everything that we have touched in the Middle East, we have made a bad situation worse, and now America is on the cusp of going to war again. Here's the stories. I have three to share with you this morning. First is from Reuters. The White House said on Monday, yesterday, that it is undeniable that chemical weapons were used in Syria and that there is little doubt that the Syrian government used them. Yeah, the first part's probably true. The chemical weapons were used in Syria. We've had two occasions where it was obvious that chemical weapons were used in Syria prior to this, both of which were reported by the Israeli Mossad. The Mossad supplied the pictures. This time the pictures were available on YouTube. Yeah, this is not a situation where America's CIA or the NSA proved their mettle. They haven't in any one of these revelations. But twice before, scores of people were killed by chemical weapons. One time, the consensus was that it was impossible to tell who deployed them. The Mossad made it clear that sarin gas had been used, but could not demonstrate whether it was Assad or the Mujahideen, the jihadist who deployed the sarin gas, killing scores of people. The second incident was blamed entirely on the rebels. They gassed their own people. In this particular case, the fact that poison gas was used, likely sarin, and that will be confirmed as to what the gas was here, probably today, no later than tomorrow. Yeah, that's probably true. The likelihood that the Assad regime is culpable, as the United States is claiming, I suspect that's highly unlikely. If it was true, it would be immaterial. I want to tell you why in a moment. But I suspect it's untrue for the reasons that we discussed on Friday and on Thursday of last week, which is that the civil war in Syria was no longer a stalemate. The rebels had lost virtually every battle over the last 6 months. Once Hezbollah engaged, it was over. They lost their strongholds. They were pushed out of them. The cities that were their strongholds are now just piles of rubble. And that's why, desperate, the Saudi Arabians decided that they would provide these Mujahideen, these Islamic terrorists. That's the rebel side, is made up of Islamic terrorists, the very people that we say we're at war against. That they decided to supply them with anti-tank and missiles, rockets, as well as surface-to-air missiles. And so, recognizing that the only thing that could bring his regime down at this point, since the battlefield has tilted so that it is almost universally in favor of the Assad regime, is the deployment of chemical weapons. It would be asinine, absurd, for Assad to use them, recognizing that that would invite countries that are itching to engage in another war, and presidents and prime ministers that are itching to distract attention away from their phony, what does the president call them, phony issues regarding his malfeasance. And so, there is no chance that Assad would order this. None. Now, we'll be told that's the case, but remember, the United States, its president, its congressman, its CIA, its Secretary of State, on the national television and worldwide television, and even, in fact, at a United Nations forum, presented evidence after evidence after picture after document after claim that Saddam Hussein was in violation of his of the statement that that he would not use or have chemical or biological weapons, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, they were. We had all the evidence in the world, and we laid down our case. The president, even at the State of the Union, said the smoking gun, the reason we have to invade Iraq, is the purchase of tons of yellow cake uranium from Nigeria. Turned out it was all a lie. Every bit of it was a lie. It was all untrue. Our government not only lied to the American people, but to the world, and engaged in a war that left a million people dead and left a debt of $6 trillion for our children. That caused the death of over 10,000 Americans, all on lies. They'll do the same thing here. And most people won't have bothered to say, wait a minute, you lied to us about Afghanistan. You lied to us about Iraq going back further. You lied to us about Vietnam. Why should we believe you now? You failed in Korea. You failed in Vietnam. You failed in Iraq. You failed in Afghanistan. Why should we believe that this time you will succeed? Look at the mess you made in Libya. It's now a jihadist state. It's the weapons supplier now to Islamic terrorists throughout Africa. Tell me, why on earth is the media reporting this story as if, oh boy, we have no other choice, and you know, all we really need to do is make sure that we're supporting the moderate elements of the coalition against Assad, and we'll stop this before it spreads to other countries and becomes a bigger problem. And oh boy, these chemical weapons, and maybe several hundred people may have been killed amongst the deaths of over 100,000, and that's just the most heinous thing in the world. We have no choice but to act. Recognizing there is a 0% possibility that we can make this very bad situation better. None. Back to Shattering Mist. 13 years ago, before America invaded Afghanistan, I was in a position where I had just met with Al-Qaeda. And because I knew George W. Bush, and he told me that that before he was elected president, that what he wanted to do was to have the opportunity to be a crisis manager. He wanted a crisis because he thought that he would become more popular because of his skill set in managing a crisis. Now, this is a man that failed in everything that he had done in his life up to this point. He couldn't even manage everyday affairs, much less a crisis. But that was his mindset nonetheless. And so I knew what he was going to do after 9/11. And so I flew off after I failed to get a meeting with him after 9/11. I flew off to meet with Al-Qaeda. I wanted to know for myself why they were killing us. And I met with them, and I learned. They quoted the Islamic Hadith and the Islamic Quran. And so it was a simple question. Either they had misquoted or cherry-picked the worst verses out of a sea of nurturing and positive and peaceful ones, and therefore they had corrupted their religion, or they were telling the truth, that they were quoting their prophet and their God accurately, and that they were properly assessing the commands from their prophet and God, and therefore their religion had corrupted them. Those were the only choices. I devoted 10,000 hours of my life to ascertaining which one. Wrote two books as a result, Tea with Terrorists and Prophet of Doom. As I wrote Tea with Terrorists and published it immediately after 9/11, I was given access to many radio programs where I was a guest. In fact, I ended up doing 3,000 hours of talk radio, where I told everyone who would listen that if we invade Afghanistan, it will be a version of Vietnam all over again, and went through all of the things that would happen to us, all of which turned out to be true, before we invaded. I said the same thing of Iraq. all of which turned out to be true. There are some 3,000 hours of talk radio programs of me during the early years of both of those invasions telling us why there was no chance to prevail, why it was a lose-lose scenario, why we were making a bad situation worse. I'm not one of those who said after the fact that, oh boy, that was really a bad idea. I spoke before the fact. Maybe the only one to do so. I'm telling America again. Bombing or invading Syria will be a tragic mistake. If we bomb Assad out of power and we usher in an alliance of Mujahideen, then the Islamic world will take a turn towards fundamentalist Islam and be far worse than it is today. The Christians in Syria will be slaughtered, just as they were in Iraq as a result of our invasion. Just as they have been in Israel as a result of our sponsorship of the Palestinian Authority. Just as they are now in Egypt with our sponsorship of the Egyptian military and previous sponsorship of the Muslim Brotherhood. We will make a bad situation much, much worse. There is no chance of success. Unless you measure success as what we achieved in Libya, where a syphilitic dictator who was principally secular was deposed with the help of American bombings by an alliance of Mujahideen, the very Mujahideen and jihadists that we were fighting in Afghanistan. We provided indirectly weapons to them, and they created a terrorist government. They killed our ambassador and three other Americans as a result of that. They're confiscating American equipment and bases now. That's the mess that we created. If that's your idea of victory, which is now arming Mujahideen in the Sinai that are planning on attacking Israel, if that's your idea of doing a good thing, then by all means, bomb Syria. It'll lead to the death of the entire Christian community. It'll create a slaughter of the Shiites. It will make a bad situation worse. There is no way to prevail. You cannot make Syria a democracy so long as the battle is between the two different sects of Islam. Cannot be done. It's impossible. Yahweh told us this in one of the very earliest prophecies in the Torah. Speaking of Ishmael's descendants, today's Muslims, he said that their hand would be raised against their brother's hand would be raised against them, and they would live in hostility with the whole world. You cannot prevail against religious rage with bullets and bombs. They will always make the situation worse. This planned invasion, this planned military attack, these bombing runs that America is now scheming with its allies to perpetrate on the Assad regime will be counterproductive. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. You can engage in this conversation. Feel free to challenge my prediction that this will turn out very badly for America. It's not much of a prediction. Everything that we have done in the Islamic world has turned out badly for us. It's been counterproductive. Every war that America has fought has turned out badly for us, even if you consider the great victories of World War I and World War II, where we sacrificed lives in World War I based on a lie, the Lusitania incident, that was the impetus for going to war was staged. It was a lie especially designed to benefit the banker J.P. Morgan. And in World War II, we thought it would be a great idea that since the Japanese killed 3,000 sailors in Pearl Harbor, that we would go sacrifice the lives of 400,000 more young Americans to avenge those 3,000 lives, and that the way that we would achieve victory is becoming a terrorist nation ourselves. We ended up killing about 3 million Japanese. Yep, if that's your idea of a moral victory, then great. You ought to be very proud of what we did then in Afghanistan and Iraq. But if that's not your idea of a moral victory, if that's not your idea of what is beneficial or good or appropriate, then you ought to stand up and be another voice telling America, don't do this. Don't engage again on behalf of another group of fundamentalist Muslims. We're only making a bad situation worse. This is a horrible situation, and there is nothing we can do to make it better. And, ladies and gentlemen, you don't improve a situation by destroying things and killing people. You know, you don't bring peace through bombs. There is very little doubt, the White House said, that there's very little doubt in our mind that the Syrian regime is culpable. Yeah, that's to say, we can't prove that they did it. We'll make that claim, of course. But you just believe us here, that this is the way we want it to be, because it gives us the opportunity to do what we want to do. Politicians entrench their positions. The phony scandals all go away when politicians declare war, because we have been conditioned patriotically to rally around our president at times of war and not to question what we're doing. So in an America that has not only turned a deaf ear to circumspection, to questioning, to moral evaluation, this is the last opportunity you're going to have to keep your country from engaging in another war, because it's imminent, just days ahead on our horizon. Hello, Larry. It's been a long while since we've heard from you. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm afraid I've been a little buried over here. I don't know what I could add to that. I mean, it's other than the fact that I think that this was all a setup.
I do too.
We have any business going into Syria. I don't believe that the Syrian government gassed its own people. I think others did that, and so they could point the finger at them. And I know Obama cares about me as a person. You know, it isn't like he's trying to screw me six different ways from Sunday, and it isn't like he's a scumbag looking to advance any lie possible to raise my taxes. It isn't like he uses every means possible to divide people in order to destroy the country and stratify the society with the elite on the top and the rest of us at the bottom. No, I think Obama's more like a Disney character that spends his time looking out for me and others. And thankfully, I'm a good judge of character, you know.
Yeah. Here's the reality. Let's just say that Assad did. Let's just say he had a senior moment, disengaged his brain, and acted in a suicidal manner. Let's just say that's what he did. Let's just pretend that he did. How are we going to resolve that problem by aiding the fundamentalist Muslims who oppose him? And this is the question I asked in the invasion of Iraq. If in fact, let's just say pretend for a moment that he killed 300 people in a civil war where 100,000 people have died, about half from both sides' actions, and with the rebels actually being more uncivil than the Assad regime. Let's just say that occurred, and that he, in a moment of self-defense, decided, this is my only solution. So what if you start to bomb him and you paint him into a corner? Then what's going to happen with the rest of his chemical weapons?
Well, that would be true. But
he's going to use them, right? We're going to actually push him to the point we'll have to use them.
If I was a senior, well, sure, if he really had them. See, if I were a senior advisor, the only thing that I would add is on those bombs, I would write, "We're going to free the hell out of you."
Yeah. Catch this.
I mean, that's it. That's the only other thing I would do. How are we doing so far there, God?
Yeah, free your free view of your life. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry condemned what he termed the moral obscenity of the Syrian government's use of chemical weapons against his own people. We have no idea.
John Kerry, a member of Skull and Bones, talking about morality. I kind of like that.
Yeah, and this is the same administration that has killed 4,000 civilians because we don't like the way they practice their religion in Yemen and in Pakistan through drones. So if it is a moral obscenity to kill 300 civilians, then with chemical weapons, why is it not a moral obscenity to kill 4,000 civilians with drones?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm blown away here.
Okay. When we started the Iraq War, we used cluster bombs on civilians.
Yeah, that's a lovely thing to do.
Yeah. How do you tell me how that was not a moral obscenity? Well, how is it America is now the judge of character when it has done everything it possibly can to act immorally towards its own people and the rest of the world?
Now, Yadi, you know we're trying to free those people and bring them democracy. You know that.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know it.
Yeah, it worked out really well in Iraq and Afghanistan, hasn't it?
Worked out, sure.
Yeah, it worked out really well in Egypt. Boy, that democracy, that was sure a good thing in Egypt. Now we have the sponsors of democracy, America, saying, boy, we just love that military coup. You know,
well, hey,
that one-year experiment with democracy, that didn't turn. That one-year experience with democracy in Egypt, that turned out so bad that we're now on the side of a military junta that deposed the democratically elected government. Yeah, that democracy thing, it really worked well. You know, they've had a lot of votes in Libya, haven't they?
You're going to have to enlighten me. I'm aware of.
Oh yeah, and it's turned out so well in Tunisia, where the Ennahda Party, not only is the most fundamentalist Islamic party, was elected to replace a secular regime, but they now kill any opposition spokesperson. That's turning out really well there too, isn't it?
Well, they know how to take care of business. Let me tell you.
Yeah. So anyway, Kerry says the footage of the chemical weapons attack near Damascus was real and compelling and undeniable. Yeah, it was the video that was taken and posted online at Facebook and YouTube. This is not U.S. intelligence, is compelling and real and undeniable. No question about that. Now, the rebels say that 1,500 people were killed because they were smoked with these chemical weapons. And it turns out maybe 300. And yet, there is no way to determine who got who, but what is 300 people in a war that has already claimed over 100,000 with both sides being savages?
Well,
Why would you draw a red line and say that's the issue?
Yes. Clearly a drop in the bucket, but, you know, there is some pretty unmistakable evidence out there that this was all pre-planned.
Let me ask you another question. Why would you not use chemical weapons in any one of the rebel towns and cities that they controlled, where if you used chemical weapons, you would be able to eradicate the opposition without sacrificing your own men, and you would have no chance that the chemical weapons might infect your own people? Why would you not use them there? But these chemical attacks were all inside the city limits of Damascus. They were 3 to 5 miles away from the presidential palace. Why would you deploy your chemical weapons in your own backyard and not deploy them in the areas that had a high concentration of rebels?
I don't believe I would do that if I were the government. I think that what I would do is actually attack the rebels with these terrible weapons.
And let's just say that you're Assad and you decided that you were going to now be stupid and you're going to invite bombing runs from Europe and the United States, and that you're going to deploy chemical weapons in your own backyard, just a few miles away from your own presidential palace and where you have your strongest support group. Would you not give those weapons to Hezbollah and tell Hezbollah to deploy them in a manner that cannot be traced to the regime? Or would you say, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire them out of cannons. I'm going to drop them out of airplanes. I'm going to make it obvious that the government did this.
It's pretty clear what you're saying here, and it takes somebody with less than two brain cells to rub together to buy into this story. And what we have to really ask ourselves is, why is it that these lies are being unleashed on the world?
What is it that
they want in Syria now?
Right.
Because they only go into
something. I think that's obvious. I think Obama wants to be considered the Messiah of the fundamentalist Islamic world, and he wants to be seen on the side of Sunni Muslims, not Shia Muslims. Second, I think that the president recognizes that his credibility has been eroded by the Associated Press wiretapping, by the IRS scandal targeting opposition groups, that his Benghazi lies, and that he's looking, just as George W. Bush did, for a way to galvanize his political support so no one is investigating the quote-unquote phony scandals. And the same is true with Holliday in France and with Cameron and the UK, and that no one has bothered to think through the reality that on the other side of this is who? Russia and China. China owns us. And Russia is in a much stronger position now than the United States is in. So why would we want to invite World War III? By engaging in a no-win scenario. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. Yes, the United States called the chemical weapons that killed 300 people heinous weapons. Heinous weapons. So if they're heinous weapons, why did the United States and virtually every country in Europe use these weapons in World War I? If they're heinous weapons, why does the United States have the largest stockpile of them? If they're heinous weapons, how would you explain the use of drones, which somebody operating a video game can kill people half a world away, blowing them to bits, women and children among the targets who are all just religious civilians? What weapon is not heinous? If weapons are heinous, why is the United States good when we're the largest manufacturer of weapons in the world? If weapons are heinous, why does the United States have the largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the world? If weapons are heinous, then please explain why the United States military is larger than all the rest of the militaries in the world combined. Please. If we're so good, how can they be bad?
You're getting into rational thought there, though, and it's not something a political actor would really expect you to do. It's not like you know, when these guys give these disingenuous speeches and these diatribes, they don't really expect a response like yours, Yana. They don't.
Yeah. Think about this for a moment, Larry. The United States is going to justify this and say that it's obvious that Assad did it because he delayed the UN inspectors 5 days and therefore covered up the ability for us to track him to the deployment of these weapons. Now, if you were Assad and you had read the newspapers about what happened in Iraq, where the United States systematically made up evidence to falsely accuse Saddam Hussein so that they could justify an invasion of Iraq, would you be keen, and the United Nations, by the way, supported it, would you be keen to let this same group of characters make the same kind of case against you? I mean, they contrived the case against Iraq to get the United Nations to sanction an invasion. So with the same cast of characters, are you going to let them in and say, yeah, please, why don't you contrive the same case against me so that you can justify bombing me? That really sounds like a swell idea to me.
Well, I mean, you're using common sense, and we all know that the United Nations is just a collection point for criminals. It's like an assembly of criminals gathered from various parts of the planet.
Yeah, so now, you may tell you why the United Nations here is going to side against Assad.
Others.
The United Nations is going to side against Assad. Now, the United Nations almost universally sides in favor of Muslims. It has.
But in this case,
Well, no, in this case, they're going to.
Oh, yeah.
They're going
to.
Because 90% of Islamic countries, and there's 55 Islamic countries in the world, 90% of them are Sunni. And the biggest contributors to the United Nations are countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Kuwait. And so, guess who they're going to side with?
Yeah.
Pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, sure.
But why? Don't go beyond all of that. You're the president of the United States. You know that that we created a disaster in Iraq. We actually gave Iraq to Iran, and by giving Iraq to Iran, we are the country that that lit the fuse for the Syrian civil war as a proxy war between Sunnis and Shias. You know that for a fact. And you know for a fact that nothing that the United States has done in the Islamic world has worked out favorably. We've made many bad situations much worse. And in this case, for the first time, you know that if you engage, you are going to be at direct opposition to the country that essentially owns America, China, and to the country that is in a far better position in terms of its economy than the United States, which is Russia. You know, the United States thinks, hey, we won the Cold War because we outspent the Russians militarily. We bankrupted them, and that's how the Cold War ended. Well, the reality is we bankrupt both countries, the United States and Russia, but Russia has recovered. We have not. Russia said, oh, you're right. You know, we can't afford to have that large a military. And so they became a fascist dictatorship instead of a communist dictatorship. And in the United States, we kept on spending, bankrupting the country. And now we're going to use that military that we have invested in to make another bad situation worse. Larry, I hope you can stay with us as we turn the page and consider the hope that the Torah provides, particularly the covenant as presented in the Garden of Eden, because we need that news at this time.